Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Stogas and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogas and Beer Radio Show. Stogas and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Stogas and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Stogas and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport he or she loves the most. Stogas and Beer is broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California. WBEST, that's WBEST, Chula Vista, California. Time on deck is 8:04 a.m. It is 53 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny in San Diego, California. And our topic for today is NBA trade deadline results. Again, NBA trade deadline results. The host will discuss and debate recent and overnight NBA trades with pro armchair quarterbacks and regarding the sports they love in front of a live global listening audience. Live global listening audience means you. Topics to be discussed but not limited to will be Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, NBA, NCAA, NFL, NHL, MLB scores and breaking news. We'll also be talking about some spring football activity in the XFL, USFL, and AFL, Arena Football League. All right, with that being said, folks, Durant's heading west. Westbrook is out in L.A. Let's get off into it. If you'd like to call into the show and debate the host or correct the host about anything, call in to area code 515-602-9687. Again, call in to 515-602-9687. Across the monitor, they're saying, does this trade make the Suns a favorite to win it all? Suns acquire Kevin Durant and TJ Warren for three players, a first-round pick. So, you know, the big trade got made overnight. I woke up this morning, and it's like I predicted this on the show the other day. If you guys been listening to the show and following the show like I, you know, recommend, I predicted this. I predicted this on yesterday. I say that you heard it first right here. Once I seen Kyrie take off from Brooklyn, once I seen him get traded down south by Josiah, remember I told you Josiah traded Kyrie Irving down south to Mark Cuban. So he sold him down south. Once Kyrie got sold down south, I kept saying to everybody, I said, watch the next move by Kevin Durant. I said yesterday I would have woke up and it was going to happen, but it was today. It came a day late. But I predicted yesterday, too. I said, stand by. It's not. I don't believe it's over yet. I believe Kevin Durant will ask to be traded. And so this morning, I wake up, and lo and behold, because I told you, you heard it here first. Lo and behold, I woke up this morning, and they're like, Durant, on the monitor, they're saying, Durant headed west. Durant heads west. And I'm like, what the heck? And then so now, I'm looking at this thing, this Durant and another player, and then four first round picks to go in added in the package, sends Durant west to the Phoenix Suns. I said it yesterday, people. I said it was coming. I said yesterday, this is happening. You know, everybody thought that I was just like, you know, as they say, you know, just talking out the side of my neck, as they say sometimes. But I'm telling you, I seen it. I felt it. I had a leery feeling over me saying that Kevin Durant was going to be asking for a trade and he was going to wind up west, because I just felt like he had already been to Northern California. And I said, okay, makes sense if he goes to the Clippers. And say it might be a little bit harder with the way their payroll is constructed and all the people that they've acquired this season. I said he may not get to go to the Clippers, but what's the next best option? What's option two or vice versa? Option one, the Phoenix Suns. He can go play with a young Devin Booker, Chris Paul. If they keep Chris Paul still for the rest of the season, they got DeAndre Ayton, so that makes it they got two big men now. They got length. And then they got two great shooters. I could see that happening. And then he's coming over with TJ Warren. I'm just trying to see how is it all going to play out? They're coming over with TJ Warren as well. So I'm just like, wow, this is some big stuff. And I got to do some research on TJ Warren. Because I'm just trying to make sure he ain't the guy I was talking about yesterday, because I just recently started looking at this young man, the guard that came out that I said could easily replace Kyrie Irving, that's been putting up 40-something points a game. I don't think that was T.J. Warren. But anyway, however, sounds like T.J. Warren, if he's coming over with Kevin Durant, he's a solid role player. So this could be a powerful team in the West. At first yesterday I said we had the Denver Nuggets and the Dallas Mavericks. I predicted them being in the West. I kind of still predict them being in the West because I don't know what other trades going to happen by 3 p.m. Eastern. This is a mega news day, people, for the NFL. This is a mega, mega news day. We got the NBA draft. It's actually taking over the airwaves right now. It's actually taking over all the NFL Super Bowl talks because all these monster trades, these superstars are moving around, getting with other stars. This is a major news day for the National Basketball Association. Again, for those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokers & Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. And our topic for today is NBA trade deadline results. The NBA trade deadline goes down today, 3 p.m. Eastern. That's 12 noon Pacific Standard Time. So about time I get off the show, off the air today, we'll still have about 2 more hours worth of possible trades. We're waiting to see what trades the New York Knicks are going to do. My number one show contributor, D.C., is supposed to be joining us around 9:15 mark. You know, 15 minutes into the second hour, top of the second hour, 15 minutes into the second hour, our number one show guest sports contributor is going to be calling in, D.C. out of Maryland. They made a move yesterday off of Cam Reddish. He's not happy about that. He said it's good for them, bad for the Knicks. He said it's good for Cam Reddish that he's moving on, bad for the Knicks. But I told him that I was hearing, but I want to be a responsible media guy. I told him that I was hearing rumors out there in the streets that Julius Randle may be going to Utah and the New York Knicks may be picking up Russell Westbrook's contract to bring him to the Knicks. But I told him that I heard it in the streets. I heard it throughout the network, rumors have it. But I told a little white lie. I'll admit it. I told a little white lie. Haven't heard of such things, but I'm anticipating that what if the New York Knicks decide to say, hey, bring Russell Westbrook over here. Send Randle to Utah and we can get some stuff for him. Send him over there. They're not sending him to a bad team. Russell Westbrook's not coming to a bad team, so I think it could possibly work. Let's listen out for that. You know, I'm not going to predict that it'll happen, but I'm going to keep my eyes open for it. But anyway, getting back to this monster trade with Kevin Durant and going to the Phoenix Suns, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, how everything is going to work out for Phoenix because, you know, they had DeAndre Ayton there that wasn't happy. Hopefully with KD being there, he'll get happy. He'll get motivated. Him and the coach can get along better around KD being there. And then maybe he can pick up some things from KD. Not saying Ayton is not a superb athlete and talent. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying you got another 7-footer coming in, although Durant lists himself at 6'8" or 6'9", something like that. I don't think he'll say he's 7 feet because he doesn't like to play that center position. But I see you having twin towers with Ayton, Durant, and Durant is a sharp shooter. He's a sniper. You know, then you got 2 great guards, and then you gotta do some more investigation on TJ Warren. Because I haven't figured out exactly what his numbers are, but if he came over in the package, he came over in the package for a reason. So this was monster news for me when I woke up this morning. I was like, "Wow, man! I mean, are you kidding me? Durant? What I said on my show? I predicted it on my show. If you listen to the show, you guys heard me. You know I said it. Go back and listen to the episode NBA trade deadline." I said NBA trade deadline episode 1. Go back to NBA trade deadline episode 1. I believe I done that one on Tuesday, if I'm correct. Because I said I was going to do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, just talking about the NBA trade deadline. I predicted this was going to happen, people. I said Kevin Durant is going to one of three places. I said my first choice would be the LA Clippers. Second choice, Phoenix Suns. Third choice, which would be the least desirable, but he'll do it, the LA Lakers. Because I don't think KD like all the hoopla, all the media around that's around LA as it is. And then, excuse me, people, I was yawning. I don't think Kevin Durant likes all the media. He just likes the hoop. So LA would be the least desirable spot because it's all things media in LA. That's TV land, all things TV, all things Lakers, all things in any LA sports team. And then, you know, when you got LeBron James in the mix of that, that's nothing but straight media. I don't think Kevin Durant wanted that, so I said that would be his third choice. But I felt in my heart Kevin Durant was going west. He had already been out here on the West Coast up north. Okay, maybe he would try Southern California or what's right outside of Southern California. Maybe he'll try Phoenix. I said, Phoenix, you know, that's right outside of, you know, that's right outside of Cali. He can possibly wind up in Phoenix. I saw it. Phoenix is only a quick hop when you want to come to Southern California. It's only a quick flight. Plus, that's in the same conference with the Lakers. That's in, you know, Western Conference. You'll get to see a lot of L.A. Clippers and the Lakers. So I say his second choice or first choice would be the Phoenix Suns. I say he could either go Clippers, Suns, Lakers, or could go Suns, Clippers, Lakers. I was kind of on the fence with the Clippers because they already got, they already paid Paul George. They already paid Kawhi Leonard, if I'm correct, or got to pay him eventually. Then, you know, they done brought over John Wall, Terrence Mann. He's growing. He's getting better. And he's going to eventually need his money. So I say, you know, even though Stephen Ballmer is a billionaire, building a new stadium, building a new arena and everything in L.A. for his Clippers. But I said, I don't know if he'll be able to make that deal, bringing another mega star in like Durant. And Durant, let's be honest, is the most – if you compare Durant to the Clippers roster, Durant is the mega star. I ain't taking nothing away from Kawhi. That's my guy because I love all things San Diego, and he went to San Diego State. But my thing is Kawhi Leonard is my guy, but Kawhi Leonard ain't Kevin Durant. That's all I'm saying. But if you couple Kawhi with Kevin Durant and Paul George, as a big three, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That could have worked. And then they got the big man Zubac there. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It could have worked. So, but he wound up going to Phoenix. And I just, something in my mind was like, L.A., a lot of media, a lot of noise. Could he go back to Golden State? Nah. He wouldn't go back unless they probably asked him to and really just convinced him, twist his arm to come back. Did I see that really happening? Not really, because they won without him last year. So I said, KD going somewhere fresh, somewhere new. It didn't happen in Brooklyn. It didn't happen in the East. Maybe if he goes back west, far west, what's the next destination that makes sense? The Phoenix Suns. Not San Antonio. I said the Phoenix Suns. I see him going to the Phoenix Suns if he had his way. Now, if it came down to Josiah and the other owner who pushed for this deal to be done, it wasn't Josiah, it was the other owner. Another owner, I forgot his name. He has a name of like a Asian descent, Japanese descent, however you want to look at it. I can't say his name, and especially it's not right in front of me. But the other owner, not Josiah, is the one that said, I want to get this deal done. He came in. He wants to be traded. I want to get this deal done. Package him up and get him on his way. Let's cut bait now. Let's go ahead and start rebuilding this team, going into the All-Star break, and just see where we end up at. So I'm just looking at this thing like, you know, Kevin Durant, I feel like if Josiah sold him down south, he was going to the San Antonio Spurs. If it had to do with anything about him joining the Western Conference, if Josiah was sending him to the Western Conference, I believe Josiah would have sold him down south to um, to the to the front office of the San Antonio Spurs. But what saved Kevin Durant, in my opinion, from being sold down south to the San Antonio Spurs, because they could have got, I believe, since the Spurs are you know, I don't want to say they're tanking, because that's not Greg Popovich style to tank. I'll say that they're not winning, and they had picks. So if it was up to Josiah, I could have seen him making a phone down there, talking to Greg Popovich in the front office and saying that, hey, we selling Kevin Durant down south. But since the other owner that right alongside of Josiah, he said, look, let's get Kevin Durant out of here. Let's get Kevin Durant on his way gone. Package him up and get him out of here. I want this done tonight. That owner was like, I want this mess done tonight. Tell him to just go ahead, pack his bags, take off. Where does he want to go? He want to go to Phoenix. We're calling Phoenix right now. So who's ever in charge of the Phoenix Suns front office now that they had the owner had to sell the team? I don't know who's running things now, but they made a call down to Phoenix and said, we got Kevin Durant on his way to you. Give us an offer. They got it worked out. People. This is major breaking news this morning. This news of Kevin Durant going over to the Phoenix Suns, I predicted it on this show. If you'd like to call in to correct me or debate me about this topic, call in area code 515-602-9687, area code 515-602-9687. Call in and give me your opinion on this. Also, you can call in and talk about your favorite team and how these trades have affected your favorite team or favorite conference, whatever the case may be. Call in and I'd like to hear your opinion on this. I'm going to continue to banter on about it, but definitely call in and give me your predictions on what you think about all this stuff, because this is major breaking news. I mean, here it is, NFL Super Bowl weekend. Super Sunday is coming up. The Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, taking on Philadelphia Eagles with Jalen Hurts at the helm. This is a mega game for Super Sunday coming up. But this news of Kevin Durant moving over to the Phoenix Suns from the Brooklyn Nets has shaken things up. And I'm just happy to be covering this story because I predicted this scenario on Tuesday, I believe, on the first episode of the NBA trade deadline. Once I found out that Kyrie Irving had left Brooklyn, I said, KD has to be talking to them right now saying, I'm out of here. He has to be talking about, I'm out of here. And the funny thing about it is this. The Super Bowl coverage is taking place in Glendale, Arizona right now. It's taking place in Glendale, Arizona. And all the fans are out here hyped up because they're Phoenix Suns. Are getting KD. KD is on his way. And they got signs held up right now. You know, the Suns next gen, KD. they got signs up. Next gen KD Suns. So the Phoenix fans are excited about the Super Bowl. The Phoenix fans are excited about getting KD. Just like the scenario I threw out there in the DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth, where I said that even though that the Dallas Cowboys didn't make it to the conference NFC conference championship game to go on to the Super Bowl, Mark Cuban breathed life into the sports community by acquiring Kyrie Irving. He breathed life into the Dallas-Fort Worth community, saying, okay, we didn't get a Super Bowl down here, but we might get a national championship in basketball. We might get a world championship in the NBA for you guys. Just stand by. Everybody calm down. Like Aaron Rodgers says, get your ayahuasca, calm down. And we'll try to deliver you a championship here and on the NBA side of the house, which I believe that if Mark Cuban delivers an NBA championship to Dallas, that'll be his second one, and let's say, I think the first one was around about, 2011, somewhere up in there, 2011, maybe 2012, I think 2011. And if he delivers one more in a 10 or 11 year, you know, 11 or 12 year span, somewhere in there, less than 15 years, I think that puts him right up there, right alongside of Jerry Jones, because all of Jerry Jones' titles with the Cowboys came back in the 90s. He ruled the 90s. And Mark Cuban, he's brought a championship in the 2010s. Now if he bring one in the 2020s, that's going to put Mark Cuban right up there with, as ownership goes, right there alongside of Jerry Jones as owners delivering a championship to the DFW. So I feel like Mark Cuban breathed life into the DFW sports community by acquiring Kyrie Irving from Josiah. Like I said, Josiah sold Kyrie Irving down south. But, you know, Kyrie Irving looked good last night. Speaking of one such Kyrie Irving, he looked good last night. He looked really good. He, I think he put up about 20 points, something like that. I forgot the total numbers, but we'll get it up in a minute when we go into our scores at about the 45-minute mark of the show. We'll go up into our NBA scores and NCAA men's and women's action, NHL scores, and any breaking news for Super Sunday, for the Super Bowl, and any breaking news for Major League Baseball. We'll go off into that. But I tell you, people, this is I woke up this morning. This is just major news. But back to Kyrie Irving and the Dallas Mavericks. Kyrie Irving had his debut last night in Dallas. Dallas looked really good. He looked really good in Dallas with his new team. And, you know, the Dallas Mavericks, they pulled off a win against the Clippers. You know, they looked really good. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, my Clippers, they fall down the stretch. They made it interesting down the stretch, but they never led in the game. The Dallas Mavericks kept them at bay all night. On our home court, mind you. But the Mavericks, they kept us at bay all night, you know, because it was a big game last night. I tuned in Mavericks against my Clippers. I tuned in last night. Just dang good game. And Kyrie Irving looked good. He looks good with his new team. Put up 20 points. He was consistent throughout. I think in the first quarter, he had already put up 8 points in the first quarter. You know, the media experts are saying that now that he's on the floor, a lot of other players can get open shots because they got to account for that other shooter now. They had to account for Kyrie Irving last night. And when Luka Doncic comes back, they're going to have to account for they're going to have to definitely account for him, because if you can't double Luka, you can't double Kyrie, because either one of them can put the ball in the hole. And then, you know, now the ball's going to be moving around a lot to the other guys. So the other guys will have more opportunity to score, and they can score effectively as well. So I see this thing. I still got the Nuggets against the Mavericks in the Western Conference Championship. But the shakeup this morning with Kevin Durant, the shakeup this morning was Kevin Durant going over to the Phoenix Suns. Now we got to figure out, are they going to cut bait with Chris Paul? Are they going to look at it and say, go ahead and get Chris out of here? He's going to eventually be looking for another extension, in which we don't want to give him. Go ahead and send him to wherever you want to go. I think they'll send Chris Paul wherever he wants to go. I believe that they'll do right by Chris Paul, because Chris Paul has been an upstanding guy for the most part everywhere he goes. New Orleans, the Clippers, the Suns, Oklahoma City Thunder. He has been the Houston Rockets. He's well-traveled, and he's been an upstanding ambassador for the game on and off the court, no matter where he was at. So all I'm saying is that they might be sending Chris Paul on the way. I think it would be foolish, because I think that the chemistry with Devin Booker and Chris Paul, whether they're on the court together, whether they're splitting time, that chemistry is working. And Chris Paul knows how to wield guys to at least a conference championship. He never got a championship, but he definitely got, if I'm correct, he's definitely been to the Western Conference Championship before. But my thing is, I really feel like they need to keep Chris Paul at least for the rest of the year and see how Chris Paul, Devin Booker, TJ Warren and Kevin Durant all work out. And right along with DeAndre Ayton. I see they got in with DeAndre Ayton and Kevin Durant. I see they got two shooters with Paul and Booker. I mean, now they shaking up my prediction of Denver, because Denver could not be going now because of the Phoenix Suns super team. And then Dallas could not be going because of the Phoenix Suns super team. But the only thing about it is chemistry. We got to see how does the chemistry work with a vet like Chris Paul and Kevin Durant. How does that chemistry work? How does that chemistry work with two big men? You know, sometimes you got big men, you might have big egos. You got Kevin Durant, who just wants to hoop, and you got DeAndre Ayton, who, he got his issues already with the coach. I don't know if that calms down with the addition of Kevin Durant and TJ Warren. I don't know. It's going to be exciting to see what happens. All right, people, it is the midway point of the first hour, 8:31 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 56 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny in San Diego, California. You're listening to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. All right, we're going to go off into a quick music mix so the Late Night Dog can wet his throat with all this loud talking and excitement. My throat's starting to hurt a little bit, and I'm getting a little hoarse, so let me go and get some water and give me a little bit of coffee. And get back on air. But we're going to go off into our music mix. For those of you just tuning in, again, this is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and talk about the sport he or she loves the most. Our topic for today is NBA trade deadline results. If you'd like to call into the show and boast about the sport you love and about our topic, NBA trade deadline results, call in area code 515-602-9687. Put your hand up in queue, and I'll kindly come to you. When I come to you, just state your first initial, last initial, and the state that you're calling from. First initial, last initial, state that you're calling from. We try to keep everybody discreet on this show. All right. With that being said, we're going to go off into some music mix, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
So I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stoke of the Bear Radio Show. And let's get off into some NBA scores from yesterday. All right, yesterday we had the Cavaliers over the Pistons, 113-85. Cavaliers defeated the Pistons, 113-85. We have the in NBA action, we have the Washington Wizards, 118 over the Charlotte Hornets, 104. Washington Wizards, 118 over the Charlotte Hornets, 104. We also have the Boston Celtics, 106, defeated the Philadelphia 76ers, 106-99. Celtics over the 76ers, 106-99. The Celtics take that one. I saw that game. That was a very exciting game. We had James Harden with 26 points, 11 assists. James Harden again, 26 points, 11 assists. And for the Celtics, they had White with 19.6 rebounds. White had 19 points, 6 rebounds. We had in the other NBA action, we had the Miami Heat over the Indiana Pacers. Miami Heat 116 over the Indiana Pacers 111. Miami Heat takes that one, 116-111. And we had in other NBA action, we had the Toronto Raptors, 112 over the San Antonio Spurs, 98. Toronto Raptors, 112 over the San Antonio Spurs, 98. We had the Sacramento Kings, 130 over the Houston Rockets, 128. Sacramento Kings take that one, 130-128. They defeat the Houston Rockets. Kings over the Rockets. We have the Minnesota Timberwolves, 143. Utah Jazz, 118. Minnesota Timberwolves, 143 over the Utah Jazz, 118. Noel for the Timberwolves had 30.6 assists. And Sexton for Utah had 22 points. Sexton for Utah had 22 points. Both of those teams have recently been shaken up. Of course, in the news, we know that D'Angelo Russell has departed Minnesota to go to L.A. in a three-team deal. And we know that the Utah Jazz just lost some players as well, and they've acquired the contract for Russell Westbrook. I won't say they acquired Russell Westbrook. However, Russell Westbrook has been sold down south by Josiah. Josiah basically said, I'm going to teach Kyrie Irving a lesson, and let me make sure I'm saying this right because I'm getting my notes mixed up. The Timberwolves, as we said earlier, has released D'Angelo Russell. He'll be going to the Lakers. And Utah Jazz, in a three-team deal, are going to be acquiring Russell Westbrook.
They're going to be acquiring Russell Westbrook. I apologize to Kyrie Irving. This has nothing to do with Kyrie or Josiah. But anyway, Jenny Buss has sent Russell Westbrook packing to Utah. The Utah Jazz has acquired a contract. That's all they've done is acquired a contract on Russell Westbrook. They have his rights. They've acquired his rights. And obviously they're going to be using it for trade bait. And I'm going to be getting off into Russell Westbrook a little bit more after we get done with these scores, because that was a major shakeup. Russell Westbrook ousted in L.A. He's out in L.A. getting sent to a team that they know he didn't want to go to. I can't wait till my number one sports contributor, D.C., calls in, because I'm trying to ask myself, why in the heck would they send Russell Westbrook to Utah? Knowing his relationship in Utah with those fans, it has not been good. If I'm remembering correct, the media experts are saying sometime when Russell's out there playing, they're hollering Westbrook, Westbrook, and then they're shouting out racial undertones to him and things of that nature. I don't know if that's true, because I believe that the Mormon community is supposed to be one of the most religious and upstanding communities out there, but he said that they were saying some throwing out a lot of racial undertones to him and calling him Westbrook and all this good stuff. So the relationship with the fans and this particular NBA player, I don't think that it can be mended. I thought about it for a minute. I said, well, maybe if he's going, because they was talking about the possibility of him going to the Utah Jazz yesterday. And I said, well, maybe it could work. Maybe if he got in front of the media and got in front of the whole situation and say he's coming, he wants to be a part of the community, wants to give it his best. But I don't think the relationship can be mended. And it's evident that it can't be mended, because the media experts are saying that basically they don't think that Russell Westbrook will play one minute on that basketball court for that organization. And I don't think it has anything to do with the organization itself. I think it has something to do with the community, the fans. Russell Westbrook is not going to play for them. So basically all that's happened is they've acquired his contract, and they can use that contract for trade bait, because somebody out there will pick him up. If I'm Utah, I'm predicting that they're sending Russell Westbrook to San Antonio. I'm predicting that they'll send Russell Westbrook to the San Antonio Spurs. The San Antonio Spurs are currently tanking. I think they're like four. They only have 14 wins on the season. They're not tanking. They're losing, because Greg Popovich is not that kind of guy. He's a winner. He's not a tanker. They're just not winning. They got a young team, and they're still learning how to win, and they need some vets. So I see that Russell Westbrook will probably be in the West with the San Antonio Spurs up under the tutelage of Greg Popovich. Maybe Greg Popovich can help him work on some of his game a little bit more in his as he's getting older. He's not an old man, but as Russell Westbrook is getting older, maybe he needs somebody like Greg Popovich in his ear to just kind of like maybe fine-tune some things, tweak some things. I see that I can see that Greg Popovich would probably welcome Russell Westbrook there, and then they could get – then the Utah Jazz could get a couple picks off of Utah, because they should not off of San Antonio. The Utah Jazz can get a couple picks off of San Antonio, because they should have a lot of picks to give up, because the last couple years they haven't been playing good basketball. Even with DeMar DeRozan, they haven't been playing good basketball, but I think he's now in Chicago with Zach LaVine out that way. But I see Russell Westbrook going to two destinations. He's either going to be under the tutelage of Greg Popovich in San Antonio, or he's going to be up under the tutelage of Tom Thibodeau up in New York with the New York Knicks. And Tom Thibodeau is a defensive man, and a lot of people say that Russell Westbrook's problem is he can't play good defense. But maybe Tom Thibodeau can help him improve on his defense, because he is a defensive-minded coach, and that's what he's about, defense. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in that whole scenario. We'll see how that all works out. But you know, we don't know how it's all going to play out. But it's definitely exciting. Okay, another NBA action. We had the Dallas Mavericks over my LA Clippers, formerly San Diego Clippers, and y'all know I love everything San Diego. If you watch this show, everything formerly San Diego I love it, everything current and former San Diego. So if you watch this show, you know that I'm not happy that my Clippers lost last night 110-104 against the Mavericks. So the Mavericks defeat the LA Clippers 110-104. That was a good game. Kyrie Irving had 24 points. Again, Kyrie Irving had a good game. He was solid. Kyrie Irving shines in his debut as the Mavs top the Clippers minus Luka. Kyrie Irving shines in debut as the Mavs top the Clippers minus Luka Doncic. Kyrie Irving, again, had 24 points. And Powell for the Clippers had a good game. I saw that game. 24 points, 7 rebounds, 3 steals. Powell had 24 points, 7 rebounds, 3 steals for the L.A. Clippers. But the L.A. Clippers failed last night to the Dallas Mavericks. Dallas Mavericks with Kyrie Irving, no Luka Doncic, defeated the L.A. Clippers, who had Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. They lost to the Mavericks 110-104. Mavericks take that one. And in the last score I got for you in NBA action is the Portland Trail Blazers defeat the Golden State Warriors 125-122. Portland Trail Blazers 125, Golden State Warriors 122. The Trail Blazers take that one. And we had Poole for the Warriors had 38.7 assists. Poole for the Warriors, 38.7 assists. So he's filling in pretty good right there since Steph Curry is out with that leg injury. Hopefully he can hold it down, continue to hold it down until he gets back. They're currently 28-27. So they're a game above 500 as of this morning. Then we had Damian Lillard. Dame time had 33 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists. 33 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists. He had a good game last night. But they won, and they won it 125-122 over the Golden State Warriors. All right, so that's all our NBA scores from last night. Let's see who's playing today. Let's see who's playing today on Thursday night. Who do we got? What are our matchups? The block goes from 4 p.m. Pacific, that's 7 p.m. Eastern, down to 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. That's the block. You can check your local listings for exact time, game times and broadcasting stations. Where you can catch the game at, besides going to the bar and lighting you up a stogies and beer. you can check your local listings to find out the exact times and stations that the games will be played on. But anyway, we got tonight the Nuggets and the Magic. Nuggets and the Magic tonight. Suns against the Hawks tonight. Again, Suns against the Hawks. Bulls against the Nets tonight. Bulls against the Nets. And we have the Bucks against the Lakers. Bucks against the Lakers. That's going to be a good one. Now, the Lakers and the Bucks, they're going to be going at it on TNT at 7 p.m. Pacific time on TNT. That's 10 p.m. Eastern time on TNT. So that's going to be a big one. What else is going to be big tonight? That'll be the biggest, the best. That'll be the best matchup tonight. Everything else is kind of lopsided. But the Suns, they'll be taking on the Hawks. Suns will be taking on the Hawks, and we already know what time it is with that whole situation. DeAndre Ayton is a player to watch at 18 points a game, 10 rebounds a game, 2 assists a game. And then Trae Young, 26 points a game, 29 rebounds a game, 10 assists. So the thing about this game, the Suns and the Hawks, you know, the game, all the notes from the media experts tonight is going to be about Kevin Durant coming over. Kevin Durant coming over to join the Phoenix Suns. That's what everybody's going to be talking about tonight. I don't know if Kevin Durant's going to be at the game, but it'd be nice to see him at courtside. It really would be nice to see him at courtside, showing support for his new team, starting to gel with his new team on the bench. I doubt if he's playing tonight because I think Kevin Durant is still nursing a foot injury. But once he gets that foot iced up, start working on that plantar fasciitis, if that's what he got, probably so. I have flat feet, and I have done a lot of standing and moving on my feet, so I know a lot of times, you know, as you get older, you start getting plantar fasciitis. Maybe that's what he got, but I'm not sure because I don't have his medical report. But once Kevin Durant ices that foot up, put some icy hot on that foot, put a little cortisone in that foot, I believe he's going to be ready to rock and roll with his new team. And I can't wait. I'm excited to see him and DeAndre Ayton, two big men, two seven-footers on the court at the same time. They got length, and then they got shooters. So I mean, this is gonna be exciting. Then we got the Bulls and the Nets. Of course, the big notes in that game is gonna be, okay, Kevin Durant has cut bait with the Nets. The Nets have cut bait with Kevin Durant. You know, they like I said last night, the other owner, right along with Josiah, I think Josiah might be the majority owner, and you know, Sean Marks, I believe, is the general manager. But the other owner said, look, let's go ahead. He don't want to be here. Let's not play all this drama out again like we had to go through this summer. Just package him up. Package him up and get him out of here. Package him up. Go ahead, package him up. Make a phone call. Ask him where he wants to go. KD, where do you want to go? KD said, I want to go west. I want to go to Phoenix. All right, call Phoenix and get him out of here. Get whatever we can get for him and get him out of here. They packaged him up. I woke up this morning. Kevin Durant done went west. He done got on the first thing smoking and got up out of Brooklyn, New York. He headed west to the Valley of the Sun. They're in Glendale, Arizona right now doing the media coverage for Super Bowl Sunday. This is the biggest news right now around the Super Bowl. The NBA has taken over Super Bowl media coverage. This trade deadline, this major trade, Kevin Durant going west to build a four-man power team. Paul, Booker, Aiden, Durant. Oh, my God. Is this shaking up my Western Conference Finals prediction of the Dallas Mavericks with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic and Jokic and Jamal Murray? It's shaking up my Western Conference dream match because they've made this mega trade in the West. I'm excited, people. You can hear it in my voice. Then the Bucks and Lakers tonight, I'm going to catch that game because the Lakers just ousted Russell Westbrook. They just cut bait with Westbrook. And they're saying in the media that Russell Westbrook, the way he was acting the other night in the shining moment, with LeBron James getting ready to break the NBA scoring record that had been held by the captain, one such Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Some of you know him as Lou Alcindor, but we're talking about the captain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, held this scoring record for 34 years. Shout out to the captain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, for holding that record that long, 34 years. LeBron James was about to break the record, and you got Anthony Davis. They said Anthony Davis was sitting on the sideline acting bitter, acting a fool, possibly jealous. Then you got Russell Westbrook arguing with Darvin Ham at halftime, saying that Darvin Ham was trying to pull him out of the game at the end of the half, and he was sulking, didn't want to come out of the game, and got pissed off. They had words. And the word is that they're saying that Russell Westbrook, negative attitude from him was affecting AD and the rest of the team. And he's just a dark cloud that night over the team. He's been a dark cloud for a long time in the locker room. And even though that he was, you know, playing at the level of being the sixth man of the year, they're saying that he was still just a negative factor on their team. And the way he acted the other night during the breaking of the scoring record, making LeBron James the highest scorer in NBA history, breaking the 34-year record held by the captain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar himself, they're saying that Russell Westbrook had a negative attitude that night. And they feel like if they couldn't have got him traded, they were going to just ask him to go home. Meaning like, you know what, just go home, man. Go home. We're suspending you away from the team. Just go home. We'll work out a deal for you in the offseason. Just get your check. Go home. You can stay ready or not, but you won't be coming back here. The best thing we can tell you is stay ready for another call once we work out a trade in the offseason, but you won't be coming back here. So that night, they had already made up in their mind. They was cutting bait with him. And this is the dirty thing. This is the dirty thing they did. I can't believe Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka would do something like this. They traded Westbrook to somewhere that they knew he was going to be uncomfortable going. They sent him to Utah, people. That's almost worse than being sold down south. They sent him to Utah, somewhere he did not want to be. And they knew the relationships, the racial undertones that were said to be thrown at him when he was out there, the constant mocking of Westbrook, you're going to send this guy packing over there. I mean, he must have really pissed some people off in L.A. That's all I can say. And I like Russell Westbrook. I'm a Russell Westbrook fan. This is an MVP-level athlete. This is a future Hall of Fame athlete. This is a guy that busts his butt on the court every night, a walking triple-double, as they say. He busts his butt every night. I think he broke Oscar Robinson, the big O. I think he busted the big O's record for triple-doubles. I think he did that. This is a high-level caliber player that puts it on the line every night, plays his tail off. Whatever negative comments you may have about him, he did not deserve to get traded to the Utah Jazz. I mean, he must have really pissed some people off. And that night, during the breaking of the scoring record by LeBron James, you had AD acting out. You had Russell Westbrook acting out. Something happened that night. I don't know if AD got wind that they were trading Russell Westbrook, and he got pissed off. Maybe AD and Russell Westbrook was close. Maybe they were balls. He was like, no, man, I don't like how they doing this. They serving you up. I don't know. I mean, I felt like AD and Russell Westbrook would have been right there. I was looking for Russell Westbrook to be congratulating LeBron James. I saw Patrick Beverly congratulate him. I seen some others come congratulating him, but I did not see the big three, AD. I did not see Russell Westbrook dapping it up with LeBron James on this greatest historic night. Players to watch tonight on TNT at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Lakers and the Bucks players to watch, of course, is the Greek Freak, Giannis, 32 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists. And definitely LeBron James, 30 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. The big note's going to be in that game. Russell Westbrook ousted. Now how will the Lakers look now? Now that you don't have Westbrook to blame, how y'all going to look now? And I'm not saying that LeBron James had nothing to do with Westbrook being gone. I don't know that. I like LeBron James. I like LeBron James. I like the way LeBron James play, and I like what he stands for. We got my man DC calling in on the line. DC, I'm finna come to you right now. We're going to talk a little bit about y'all trades and everything, the possibilities of Russell Westbrook coming to y'all from Utah, and y'all sending Randall over to Utah, and Russell Westbrook comes to New York. We're going to talk about that. Then y'all letting go, cutting bait with Cam Reddish, which I thought y'all cut bait with Quigley last night or something like that. But, you know, y'all let go Reddish. You told me this morning that you'd that it was a good thing for him, not for y'all. If Russell Westbrook comes to you guys, can y'all fix Russell Westbrook? I'm coming to you now, defensively, speaking to Tom Thibodeau. Go ahead, sir. Good morning.
All right, first of all, listen, man. You had me thinking that you needed to be drug tested this morning because you started talking about how great Russell Westbrook is. Russell Westbrook is not great, man. That dude, listen. His stats are empty stats, right? Yes, he is a walking triple-double, but those are empty stats. Think about it.
Did he not break the big O's record? Did he not break the big O's record?
He did.
Okay.
But half of his rebounds are off of his own missed shots because that's why people call him Russell Westbrook, right? So all he's doing is chasing his own missed shot for half his rebounds. Number one.
That's what you're supposed to do, though, DC. We've been taught that from elementary school when you're playing AAU ball. Chase your rebound.
He can't shoot. That's why his rebounding numbers are off the charts for a guard, right? When somebody give you the name Westbrook, that tells you cannot shoot, okay? It's to the point where opposing teams don't even play defense on him. The book on Russell Westbrook is stop the drive, right? He gets most of his points in transition and stop the drive. If you stop the drive in a half-court set and force him to shoot jump shots, you're going to beat him every time. That's why he's number one ring.
Why did Jeannie busted Rob Pelinka? Think about this for a minute.
Because he's a lousy teammate. I heard your soliloquy. He's a lousy teammate. That's why he's a lousy teammate. You're right. Why didn't he congratulate LeBron on such an achievement? Because he's a lousy teammate. I read an article about him and Darvin Ham. He's a lousy teammate. So that's why they shipped him off to Utah. And I'll be honest, I don't think Utah's a bad place. It's his eccentric dressing that Russell Westbrook do, that he's going to look like a fool in Utah, right? People going to be like, look at this guy, right? But on that end, yeah. But he deserves it. He's a lousy teammate.
They sold him upriver to a hostile environment, D.C., is what I'm trying to, what I'm saying. I mean, how dirty can you be that he deserves to be sold into a hostile environment that with the racial undertones that they say came at him with the West bricks, you know, affecting his mental status and almost attacking his family's name. I mean, did he deserve that?
He's a lousy teammate.
Yes, I guess.
He proved it in Oklahoma City. He's proven it everywhere he's been. He is a lousy teammate. He comes, I can tell you right now, he's probably a jerk. Now, yeah, he has a philanthropist thing. He contributes. Yeah, all the pro athletes do that. So that's just part of what they do. Plus, what a lot of people don't understand is it's a tax write-off.
Okay? Yeah, it is. You have to have a charity.
So, right. So it's not 100% because they bleed in heart, right? But for the Jazz, it was a smart deal. If you can get some production out of Russell Westbrook, it was worth it. I mean, it's not that they're not a bum team. Here's the funny part: they're ahead of the Lakers in the standings.
He's not gonna play a down in Utah. He's not gonna play 1 minute on that court in Utah. You know that. He's going home.
Yeah, it's plausible. It's plausible. But they got Colin Sexton in Utah and Vanderbilt. They're not Malik Beasley. A lot of people like him. Azubuike, he was balling. So they don't have Rudy Gay. They got the former Laker, right? Taylor Horton Tucker. So they're not a bum team, right? They're hovering around 500.
No, I'm saying, not to cut y'all, but I woke up this morning and all this breaking news, you know, Kevin Durant going west. With Kevin Durant being in the west with the Phoenix Suns, if you listen to the show, I broke it on my show 2 days ago. I said, Kevin Durant has three places that he's going to wind up 9 times out of 10 if Josiah don't sell him down south to San Antonio. I said he's going to probably go number one would be to the either or the Clippers or the Suns, probably more so the Suns than the Clippers, and his last choice will be the Lakers. But I broke it, and I woke up this morning, he's in Phoenix. This news is so big, it's taking over the media coverage for the Super Bowl in Glendale, Arizona right now. My question to you is Chris Paul leaving? Is he going out the door?
No. At least not this season. I think they're going to let Chris Paul stick around, and they definitely need him now that they have this. Now, you know, one of the things you can make an argument about is what do they do regarding his salary going forward? I mean, of course, they can afford for Chris Paul, but, you know, you have to consider his salary. And last time I checked, I think he's still got a couple of years left on his deal, even though he's got 17 years in the league. Yeah, his contract, he's not an unrestricted free agent until 2025. So he's still got essentially 2 years left on his deal after this year, where he's getting $30 million a year, right? So he's going to stay with Phoenix for a couple of years. So that's pretty good that they'll be able to keep that trio, well, that They got a four. I mean, you know,
you figure
Chris Paul, Babyface Booker, Durant, and Ayton. I mean,
that's
a big
four.
Yeah, they're pretty solid, right? I mean, that's pretty solid.
That shakes up my prediction. I was saying that my prediction would have been because Kyrie Irving joining the Luka Doncic, and he played well last night, 28 points. I felt like they was going to be the competition for Jokic and Murray in the West, and I saw that as being the Western Conference final. Now you do put this big four together in Phoenix. That shakes everything up. How do you see this playing out?
Yeah, I definitely think Phoenix becomes a favorite to get to the Western Conference Finals. I still think Denver is still the best team in that conference. I think Memphis is there. I think Sacramento, if Sacramento stay quiet, at before 3 o'clock Eastern time and 6 p.m. Western West Coast time, I think if Sacramento stay quiet, it's gonna hurt them in the end. I think they're gonna have to make a move to get better because while Sacramento is having a great season and they do have a nice team, you can argue that Harrison Barnes is gonna lead you to the second round of the playoffs, right? Like, he's just not, you know. So they're going to need to add another baller. I mean, Sabonis is nice, but he can't do it himself. I mean, he's 26 years old. So a lot of people don't know that. Sabonis is young. And remember, his dad was the other Sabonis, right? So that's his.
You know the big Sabonis because he played with my man, Duckworth, Kevin Duckworth.
That's right.
You know,
that's right. With the Trailblazers. So now I say, if you ask me, Sacramento needs to get in this trade because they need another veteran. Like they're pretty much gonna be the three seed, but they're gonna get upset. Even if they because Durant's in Phoenix, that Phoenix pops up to the four seed or the three seed, and I knock Sacramento down to the four, Sacramento's going to be first round out if they don't get some help because Sabonis is not enough, right? So I think this puts a huge pressure on the teams in the West to try to match this. So I do see some more moves being made in the next couple of hours. I'll be honest with that.
This trade with Kevin Durant kind of reminds me of when Charles Barkley went to the Phoenix Suns and took them on that run against Michael Jordan and the Bulls. Remember that?
I do, but unfortunately, I think Durant is going to come up short. I don't, you know, we'll see how this plays out, but I don't see Phoenix with whoever comes out of the East necessarily winning. But I do see them being severely dangerous. The East is still a really tough conference. Durant going to the West shifts some of the power to the West, but the East is still a tough conference. Because one of the things we don't know is how's the chemistry going to be with Durant and those boys. Chris Paul can make anybody great as a point guard, but Booker gets his time in. Ayton is a beast in the middle. But how's Durant going to fit in there as a wing, right? So I'm curious on that.
Are they sending Ayton away? Because Ayton is another one that they're saying is a locker room distraction. Him and the coach, for whatever reason, I don't know why they don't get along. I mean, I don't know. They say that coach can be kind of rigid. I don't think him and Chris Paul got along for a long time back in the day. Speak to that.
I don't think that Ayton's going anywhere, only because he's young and they definitely want his talent. Do I see them doing something after this season with Ayton? Yeah, that's definitely possible, right? But I think it's too much to ask for them to make a move right now. You know, one of the things about some of these young players is they forget that your time is limited. You need to be lucky you're there. Ayton's making $30 million a year, right? $30 million. So
why is he unhappy making that kind of money?
Well, who knows? But if, you know, I think part of it is he thought he would be the centerpiece of the team. And when you got Booker, you're not the centerpiece, right? When you got Chris Paul, you're not the centerpiece. You're just a piece. And he can't go anywhere. You know, the question is who takes his salary, right? Who takes his salary? I don't see that. I don't see anybody taking this guy, his salary, $30 million. That's a lot to swallow, right?
Yeah. I mean, it is. Now, going back east with the New York Knicks, you think if y'all did acquire the rights to one Russell Westbrook, can Tom Thibodeau fix him defensively? Would it be a good fit? And at the same time, speak to letting go Reddish as well.
Well, let's talk about Westbrook. It would not be a good fit. New York, you just paid $100 million for Jalen Brunson. Why would you go out and sign the exact same, a worse player that's older, that makes the same amount of money and is not an upgrade to the position? And then you say, we'll put him at the two. But Westbrook's not a scorer. He's not a shooter. He's not a scorer. If he was a shooting point guard like a Kyrie, you could make that argument. But that's not Westbrook. You already have one knucklehead on the team, and that's Randle. You don't need another knucklehead to deal with mentally, you know, and coaching-wise, and Westbrook, right? So, to me, it would be a horrible deal. And then Derrick Rose is actually better than Westbrook, and you have him sitting on the bench chilling, right? So I would see that as a horrible move for the Knicks front office. Regarding Cam Reddish, yes, I was disappointed that the Knicks traded him, but I was happy for him because his rookie contract ends this season. And if he's not playing, how can he ask for more money? How can he demand a raise, right, if he's not even getting off the bench? So I think it's important for him to be traded so he can save his career. You know, going to Portland, he's going to play. And so now that he's going to get a chance to play, Portland's going to love him. He's going to be great as a wing playing next to Damian Lillard. And everyone's going to wonder, like, why did New York play this guy? You know what I mean? And he's going to be able to contribute. And for him, I would immediately ask for an extension, a one-year extension at a minimum on my deal with Portland. I mean, as soon as I showed up, I'd shake the coach's hand and the general manager and say, can I get a one-year deal? I want to be a trailblazer. You know, go Portland, you know.
Right.
Because that's what I would do. You know, your whole rookie year, your whole rookie NBA contract, you played for Duke. Well, for Coach K, right, you had some good basketball runs, and then you get drafted as a lottery pick, and then you hit the bench, right? Atlanta, New York, you don't finally get a chance to play for your third team in your rookie year, in your rookie contract. Nah, man, I'd be all in with Portland.
What moves do you predict you guys making by 12 p.m. Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time? What moves are the front office and Tom Thibodeau looking to make your team better? Or are they going to just fold?
I actually want us to, again, I told you, I swear trading Randall would be a dream for me, but I just know they're not going to do that. But I'll be honest to say, you know, I kind of would like to see Derrick Rose get traded. Not because I don't want Derrick Rose on the team, but because he deserves to play for a winner. You know, he's 33 years old, and to get an opportunity to get deep in the playoffs for a team that, you know, like maybe a team in the West that's looking to make a run like the Lakers, you know, put Derrick Rose there. He'll get some minutes. He'll be able to play with LeBron, AD, you know, and he's a good team guy. I kind of would like to see that. You know,
he didn't play well with LeBron the first time in Cleveland.
Yeah, but it still would be nice to give him a chance to do it again. Derrick Rose is not the same player he was back then. He's a better jump shooter now. And, you know, he laughed about it. He was like, man, with all my knee injuries, I didn't have the explosiveness. And this, that, and the third. He was like, all I could do is go in the gym and work on my jump shot. You know? He's like, so now I'm a better jump shooter.
Right, right. Let me ask you this here as far as the Kyrie situation go. When I look at the Kyrie situation coming out of Brooklyn, and remember I said Josiah sold him down south. Do you kind of look at the same thing like with Kevin Durant? With Kevin Durant, Josiah was like, I'm gonna probably send him to San Antonio. I'm gonna send him down south to San Antonio. But the media is saying that on the media outlets is saying that the other owner, another gentleman, I can't say his name, of Asian descent, he said that get Kevin Durant out of here now. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to go through this whole thing. We just let Kyrie Irving go. We signed him where we wanted to put him at. Kevin Durant, I asked him where he want to go, get whatever we can get for him and get him the hell out of here overnight. Do you see that conversation happening like that? Because I think Josiah would have sent him to San Antonio if it was up to him. Go ahead.
You know, I understand you're on this thing of certain teams and certain parts of the world the country is like, you know, horrible. But these guys are professionals, and you're a professional athlete, and you get paid. Play a game. And, you know, you're not in your hometown every day. Like, Westbrook could stay, hypothetically, his family could stay in L.A., and he'd be in Utah. Derek Fisher did it. Derek Fisher went from the Jazz to the Lakers, back to the Jazz, back to the Lakers, right? Like, he's pretty much just stayed with those two teams. I think he did, 5 minutes with Phoenix or something. But he pretty much stayed with those teams. I'm saying, you know, you can do that. This Utah will embrace them. They're not gonna look at him because he's a black guy. Nothing. But here's the thing, right? Westbrook just sucks. He's a jerk of a teammate. I mean, I cannot see anything different. He's like Kyrie. Kyrie's a jerk of a teammate. Let's just be honest. You know, his press conference about when he got to Dallas, how he did his best and Brooklyn and all that. For real, dude, you didn't even play. That's why James Harden left, because James Harden was like, I thought we came here to win a championship. And you talking about this the COVID, and I don't want to take the test. And they ended up doing it anyway, right? It's just like the holding out about the Jewish thing. Yeah, okay, but you ended up caving on that, right? Because let's be honest, you're a millionaire, but billionaires' dollars is longer. Right. What is a billionaire? Isn't that like a million millions?
Yeah. Something like that.
So think about what we're saying here. So if I got 3 million, you saying if you're a billionaire, you got a million of what I got. Right? So your dollars is longer, dude. There's no way that I can outdo you, right? You can and then you controlling my paycheck. Right, if you're the owner of the team and you're a billionaire, because doesn't Joe Tsai own like half of the Chinese companies that's like famous? Doesn't he own like
some
TikTok? And, yeah, he owns like all the Chinese companies that's big, right? Like, are you serious, this dude? And then. Yeah, he owns Alibaba, which is a big-time worldwide company. And he owns the New York Liberty. He owns the San Diego Seals. He owns all these sports teams, right? He owns the Barclays Center, so all the fights that happen there, he's getting paid. Ice skating, right? The circus. He's getting paid off of that, and he owns Alibaba, like the – which is like top 5 billions in sales in the world, right? So, and he controls your paycheck.
Yeah, Barclays is European banking.
Yeah, so how can you out-dollar this dude? Right? You can't. So, you know, you got to remember you playing on the wrong level. That's what a lot of these pro athletes are thinking. You know, just like Lamar Jackson. Come on, dude. You're trying to be the richest player in NFL history at the quarterback position. Like the NFL just had their winter meeting, right? And at the one of the topics was hiring black coaches. So clearly there's some racist beliefs or whatever in the NFL. And then you thinking that they're going to give you the richest guaranteed contract in history because you bring your mama in there to negotiate? Are you serious? Right? These guys are playing checkers, right, with people that's playing chess. You don't become a billionaire if you're not shrewd business-wise.
But what's wrong with a mother protecting her son? You know, mother bears protect their cubs all the time in the wild.
All right, I'm going to let you on a secret. As a parent, you can only protect your child when they get to a certain age. After that, all you have is prayer, your guidance that you taught them, and a little bit of foresight because you might be 20 years or more older than them. That's all you have. And so you have to get to a point where you say, son, I took you as far as I can take you, right? When you was in college and you was a minor, right, then yes, I helped you with your deals. But now you're a grown man. I can't help you. In fact, it looks weak if I go in the boardroom to negotiate for you. You need an agent. You need an expert that knows the law, present your interests, right? To try to hoard all the money tells me you're not a team player and that you don't know how to think big long term, right? Because an agent is going to make you more money. Why? Because if my job is to get paid when you get paid, then I'm going to find all the ways to get you paid. This goes back to what you do, right? If one of these fools that think that they can be a NFL player or whatever, and they come across you and they decline your services, anybody that declines your services is a fool, right? Because the bottom line is you put them indoors. You put them in and get them shaking hands with people that can change their life. They can't do it on their own. So they're fools if they turn down your service. Lamar Jackson's a fool for not having an agent. You cannot deal with these billionaires who negotiate billion-dollar deals and multi-million-dollar deals every day with your mama, who probably barely graduated high school. Are you serious, right? You're out of your element. Just like these guys that be turning down your service, or you know, man, you guys are fools. If you're listening and you turn down this man's service, you're a fool. You'll never get where you want to be. That's what this man provides.
Keys and I appreciate that
to success. No,
but
it's the truth, dude. It's the truth.
I appreciate that. But let me segue over into the thing I was wanted to ask you yesterday, but you wasn't on the show. It's a guard, a shooting guard out of LSU that's playing for the Brooklyn Nets right now. He's had three straight 40-point games. What
Cam
is his
Thomas.
Name?
Cam Thomas.
Now, I thought about this, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. I said the reason why Josiah wasn't sweating letting Kyrie Irving go, because he probably put two and two together. He said, first of all, I got a younger guy that can put up 40 points a game. Younger guy, I can just get you out of my hair. I still got Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant and that kid can keep us in the fourth place and not move us up to the third place. Am I seeing this right on the way Josiah was probably thinking?
Yes, the other part is the cost. So Cam Thomas is on a five-year $5 million contract. Let me look at that again. Let me make sure I'm looking at the right kid.
Is $5 million a lot of money over a period of 5 years, though?
No.
Not really. That's a rookie contract.
Right. So so why would you he's a
26.
Right. Why would you deal with these guys that's not doing anything when you got a young player, right?
But cheap.
I'm sorry. He's on a $10 million contract. I'm sorry. I apologize. I looked at the wrong thing. Cam Thomas is on a $10 million deal, right?
Right? That ain't even a lot of money.
Exactly, right? Let Kyrie and KD and all those guys go. You saving, if Kyrie and KD were making $60 million total combined, this guy's making 10, right? You just save yourself money, and that's on a rookie deal. Right, so you're a business owner, and he's going to be anxious to play. He wants to prove himself, right? He got drafted 2 years ago, right? So he wants to prove himself.
And he's easily putting up, I mean, I didn't say he had 3 games of 40 points. He had 3 straight games, straight 40 points or more.
Yeah.
And then they just got Dinwiddie. They just got Dinwiddie and just got the other guy. So I'm just like, sorry about the noise. People have some noise in my background. But then they just got Dinwiddie and Finney Smith. You said those are two good young players, right along with this kid coming off the bench. They could possibly still hold a spot for at least the play-in tournament.
So Cam Thomas was born in Yokosuka. So that means Yokosuka, Japan. So that means his parents are military. So that means he's got some discipline. His parents, his parents were Navy because he went to high school in Chesapeake, Virginia. So that's near Norfolk Naval Base.
Okay.
He's on a $10 million contract, but he only makes $2 million this year.
But that's $2 million more than I got. But in NBA terms, they got him on cheap. Now, they just unloaded a big contract in Durant. Loaded a big contract in Kyrie Irving, or at least wasn't offering him a big contract anyway. So, I see Joe Fox being a great businessman.
The guy's a billionaire, right? So you got rid of two cancers on your team. And why do I say cancer? Because Kevin Durant was the guy that said, I'm not coming unless you bring Kyrie in, right? And so that made essentially Kevin Durant, quote unquote, responsible for Kyrie. Kyrie wasn't a good player so much that James Harden was like, dude, I'm out, right? Because this was supposed to be the three of us, and this ain't working, right? And I'm sure James Harden said to KD, we got another Westbrook here. Because remember, Harden, Durant, and Westbrook was in Oklahoma City, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Harden's probably, before Harden left, he probably said to KD, man, this dude sounds just like Westbrook. Didn't we go through this to Westbrook? So Harden left.
One could argue when in Houston, when Westbrook was in Houston with Harden, Harden would hold up meetings and everything like that, come in when he got ready, and Westbrook was like, the hell with that, man. He needs to be on time like everybody else. So it ain't like Harden ain't been a cancer somewhere. And that's why Chris Paul was on him all the time. Am I correct?
You are. But Harden realized, see, what happened to Harden is he got some humble pie, right? Because remember when Harden wasn't doing well in them game sevens with Houston, and he realized, man, I might need to check myself because I'm not as tight as I thought I was, right? So Father Time and caught up with James Harden. He ain't got the skills no more. So that's why he's like, nah, I'm going to shut up and do this ring. Right? Like, notice, there's no problems with him in Philly. No problems.
No.
Right?
He's looking
right.
better now.
Right. Because he woke up. Right? He realized I'm not as, I ain't as great as I thought I was. And on top of that, I got to make some moves here if I'm trying to win something. Right?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's crazy. But going back to this Cam Thomas kid, man, I'm excited about to see what this kid gonna do, man. Because I'm like, okay, first of all, he went to LSU, and everybody that listens to the show know I love everything Louisiana. So I'm like, I'm looking at the kid. I'm like, well, where this kid been? So you telling me he's been on the bench, buried on the bench behind Kyrie for the last 2 years?
Yep.
Man, you gotta be kidding me. But hey, they saved some money up in there. But anyway, man, I thank you for calling in to the show. I'm gonna let you get up out of here. But give me your final thoughts on what we honestly looking at with the Knicks moving forward. I mean, going to the All-Star game, how many All-Stars y'all got? Are they going to play after the All-Star break? What's the prediction? Where y'all going to end up? Go ahead.
All right, so we only have one person elected to the team, well, voted to the, well, picked to be in the team, and that was Randall. Brunson was considered a snub, unfortunately. But I do see us making one more deal before the trade deadline. I think the deal is going to be surrounding Obi Toppin, and I'm a little disappointed in that. At the same token, so I'd be happy if 3 p.m. comes Eastern Standard Time and Obi Toppin is still with the Knicks, but I got a feeling he's going to be moved. And then of course, I do see us getting to the second round of playoffs still. I think our greatest strength is being on the is our road record. I think we play better on the road than we do at home, and I think that's going to help us in the first-round playoff series. I see the power still being in the Eastern Conference, though, even though Durant shifted.
Okay. Okay. What's your real quick, what is your prediction on the Super Bowl? Super Sunday coming up. I'm quite sure you're going to have a stogie and a beer somewhere, probably a shot knowing you, some rain out or something. But anyway, what's your prediction for Super Sunday?
I'm still saying Kansas City. I think the experience is going to outdo Philly. I think Philly is just going to be happy to be there. They don't have the playoff fights and experiences that Kansas City does. And Kansas City is going to come in on a very business-like approach. And I think they're gonna win it.
But you know that you had two injured quarterbacks, one with a high ankle sprain, one with a busted shoulder. I think that when it comes down to running, Jalen Hurts definitely can tote the load. Patrick Mahomes really can't with a high ankle sprain. As far as throwing the ball, definitely Patrick Mahomes winning that area. So when it come down to the quarterbacks and their injuries, don't you say that we're looking at them kind of even right now?
No. I don't see them as an even team. I see Kansas City as the better team because their quarterback is better. Mahomes just can do some things to get that ball out, man. You know, he's not a better athlete than Jalen Hurts. I mean, let's not go crazy. Jalen Hurts is clearly the better athlete, but Mahomes knows how to get that ball out. He's shrewd, clever, slick. He can get that ball out. He can get that, you know, he can change angles on his arm angle to get that ball out. Move. He moves just enough to get the ball out. They got too many playmakers for Kansas City. I don't see Philly. I see Philly's front seven is tough, man. I mean, you know, they're not a bum team. Their front seven is tough. But I think Kansas City wins this.
You know what I like in Patrick Mahomes, too, and it's segue into another sport, boxing. He's almost like Floyd Mayweather on the football field. You know how Floyd Mayweather back in his heyday, you know, you think you got him. You think you got him pinned on the rope. You think you got him. Then just out of nowhere, zip, he just buzzes you with something and puts you down. Like, where did that come from? That's the way Patrick Mahomes plays, man.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I agree. And so I think is that's going to be the difference.
Well, man, I want to thank you for coming on to the show and breaking everything down. Everybody that's listening, this is Stogie the Big Radio Show, our number one guest sports contributor, DC out of Maryland, calling in, talking all things New York Knicks, all things NFL, NBA, going into the trade deadline at 3 p.m. Eastern. But, man, I thank you for being on the show, and we'll get you back on here sometime next week after the Super Bowl.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Yes, yes. For those just tuning in, this has been the Stogie the Beer Radio Show. I am Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Stokes and Beer, we're going to have to wrap it up a little bit, do a little hard wrap, wrap it up a little bit earlier today because as you seen and heard it earlier, my phone was blowing up, so that was a big-time business call that I got to take, and I always encourage all of you that start in these radio shows, always have a staff of about 2 to 3 people at least that's working with you, 2 to 3 people working with you, not you and somebody else, but yourself plus 2 or 3 people on your staff that can help run the show. Because when you have stuff going on, major stuff like I got this morning, then I got to get off air. And when I'm off air, the show is off air. But anyway, I want to encourage everybody just as we go into our weekend, because today is my Friday. Thursdays are my Fridays. And we want to encourage everybody to stay safe out there over the weekend. You know, we got the Super Bowl going on, NBA trade deadline today. So that's big, Super Bowl week. Leading into the Super Bowl on Sunday. Don't drink and drive. Don't drive and drink. Make sure you get your flu shots. Make sure you get your COVID-19 boosters. Keep your mask on in crowded spaces, especially at your Super Bowl parties and stuff like that. Keep your mask on. Keep your hand sanitizer handy because we still got RSV out there, which is affecting our children. At the same time, we got monkeypox probably out there still looming. So keep your hands sanitized on you as well. Keep your hands clean. With that being said, pray for peace around the world. Pray that this war in Ukraine ends. Pray for the people over in Turkey that's affected by this earthquake. Pray that everybody gets rescued from under all the rubble and everything like that. Pray for those that lost loved ones in the earthquake. So just, you know, remember one thing. There's only one race. That's the human race. Be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. With that being said, this has been the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. You can catch Stokers and Beer most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Again, most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport he or she loves the most. Our topic for today was NBA trade deadline results, and we covered all of that. Time on deck is 9:37 a.m. We're going to shut it down a little bit earlier today. It is 64 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny in San Diego, California, and we're broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, WBEST. To call into the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, it is 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687. So, again, this is our Friday. Thursdays is our Friday, and so that means we're going to be taking off our weekend. I got to shut the show down just a little bit earlier today. I'm going to take a 20-minute get off work 20 minutes early. I apologize for this. You know, I know that everybody loves to hear the late night dog banter about for the whole 2 hours, but I got an important call I got to deal with right now. But we're going to go ahead and set black, fade all, and we'll see you, God willing, on Monday morning. Have a great day. Enjoy your Super Bowl weekend. Bye-bye. Set black, fade all.